So the first character here is Tychicus. Now, Tychicus, we don't know a whole ton about him. He actually appears for the first time in Acts 20, named with a bunch of other characters. And let's see. Accompanies Paul with various other men from Greece in Acts 20, verse 4. And he was accompanied by Sopater and Beria, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius and Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. And then he's mentioned in Ephesians, which was written at the same time as, or seems to have been written at the same time as Colossians, and then also in 2 Timothy and Titus. But there's not a ton of information on him. Now, the other character here is Onesimus. We know about Onesimus. He was a slave from Colossae, and probably we did a whole thing on Onesimus during this Colossians thing, but just as a reminder, he was sent back. He was a runaway slave, and he was sent back probably with this letter and a second letter to his master, Philemon, basically as a returned slave. And then Paul writes a letter to Philemon asking him to maybe send him back to him and to forgive him and to treat him as a brother. So that's Onesimus. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas's cousin Mark, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. Let's do 11 too. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. So all the characters after this that are with him are not Jews. All right, so Aristarchus, back to my notes here.
Maybe Aristarchus?
Repeat that.
Aristarchus,
okay. He first appears in Acts 19:29 when Paul is in Ephesus, where he is referred to as one of Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. In Acts 27:2, he's referred to as Aristarchus, Macedonian of Thessalonica. He's mentioned five times in the Bible, three times in Acts, once in Colossians, and one in Philemon. So we have basically no information on him either, other than that. So some of these characters have been around with Paul, been friends with Paul, been with Paul probably since that time. We just don't know much about them personally. But obviously this was much earlier in Paul's ministry that they first met Paul and got together with Paul. And so here Paul is more towards the end of his ministry and they're still close. So we know that they have a long-term relationship with Paul, but not too much specific. The next person mentioned is Mark, though, and Mark is not a person we don't know much about. Mark, as far as we can tell, he was the son of remember when Jesus went into Jerusalem right before his crucifixion, during the Last Supper and all of that. They stayed in a house. That house belonged to Mark's parents, from what I can tell. And I remember Dan actually talking about Jesus' betrayal, right? And Mark was probably there watching the betrayal take place. He may have been the youth that got caught and somebody grabbed his robe and he ran away naked. He doesn't mention that it's him. It's probably good. Might be why he mentioned it. Maybe just to prove that he was there or to mention that he was there. And who knows? Maybe he just thought it was funny to tell an embarrassing story about himself in the book. But he doesn't refer about to it as being him. After Jesus left, the apostles met in an upper room in the house they were staying. It's easy kind of to assume it's the same house. I'm not sure. But I do know that when Peter goes to prison and then is rescued by the angel, remember the angel releases him and walks him out and the gate opens by itself and they go to a house. That, again, is Mark and his mother's house. And so Mark is there right from the beginning. He's a youth. He kind of, from his immediate grown-up sort of life, he was with the apostles. And he wrote the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. It's sometimes referred to by some as the book, the Gospel of Peter, because it's kind of written from Peter's perspective. And Peter, at the end of 1 Peter in chapter 5, verse 13, refers to Mark as his son. Now, it is conjecture that it's the same Mark. There were probably other guys named Mark there. Maybe he did have a son, I don't know. But it seems to make sense because Peter seemed to have had a good relationship with Mark in his earlier life. Mark also was the guy that kind of broke up Paul and Barnabas when they wanted to, let's see. You know what, we're going to get back to that because that's actually going to come in handy for another character we're going to talk about towards the end. But he was the cause of a fight because he didn't participate in the gospel for a little while or didn't go to the work. And Paul was mad at him, but then later we see Paul referring to him over and over again. Paul was a useful servant to him. Paul seemed to have gone on little trips for him here and there, doing the work that Paul couldn't do in his imprisonment. I think that's it on Mark. Now then we have a character, we read that already. We read about Jesus called Justice, right? Jesus called Justice. There are three justices mentioned in the New Testament. The other two are not him, from what I can tell. So he's only mentioned right here. We know nothing about him. There is a justice mentioned in Acts 1:23 and another, a different justice in 18:7. But they don't seem to be him. I just wrote those references down in case you're one of those folks that want to double check stuff like that. Where are we at in Colossians? Aristarchus. Jesus was called Justice. Yeah. Okay, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Okay, Epaphras, we did talk about him during the beginning of our study into the book of Colossians. He's mentioned twice in Colossians, one in the beginning and one here in the end. And he's mentioned in Philemon. He seems to have brought the gospel to the Colossians. Let's turn real quick to Colossians 1, starting in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras is the guy who brought the gospel to the Colossians. And he's obviously super concerned for them. Probably most of the information that Paul got that he used to write this letter, he probably received from Epaphras. So he's the tattletale. And let's keep going. 14. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Luke, the beloved physician. Now, if you grew up in Christian circles and have seen a lot of Christian movies and stuff, Luke the physician is a main character. You know how many times he's mentioned in the Bible? 3 times. He's mentioned. He wrote 2 whole books. That's what they say. But if you read scripture, you would not feel that way. He is almost invisible. Yeah, Luke is mentioned 3 times. Let's see, where is it? Yeah, Colossians, Philippians, and 2 Timothy. Philippians? That was probably supposed to be Philemon. Probably used voice to text there, sorry. Yeah, he's mentioned those 3 times. That's it. But it's believed that he wrote Acts, that he was actually with Paul the whole time, and that every time he says, "and we went," he's talking about himself with them. I can't find any concrete. It all seems to be found in church history, in old writings. We get that information that Luke was around with Paul probably all that time and wrote that. But he never identifies himself in either book, not in Luke and not in Acts. Now Luke, because he's not part of the group that was of the circumcision, he was a Gentile. So a Gentile wrote 2 books of the Bible, and if you do a word count, you'll find that he wrote more of the New Testament Bible than even Paul. He wrote more than a Gentile wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer. That's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah. Let's see. Demas. Oh, we didn't read that part. I guess we got to read it. Oh, yeah, we did. Sent to you his greetings and also Demas. Now, Demas is with Paul right now in good standing. He gets 3 mentions in Colossians, Philemon, and in 2 Timothy. Let's turn to the 2 Timothy part, though. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So Demas, Paul here is, this is that section where Paul is giving some instruction in 2 Timothy. I think this is the same area where he asked for the jacket and his parchments and that sort of thing. And he's kind of saying he's all alone, and he kind of picks on Demas, saying, having loved this present world has deserted me. And I kind of always took this as he went apostate You know, he's like, he loved the world, right? But I don't know, because remember Mark caused a big problem between Paul and Barnabas at one point. In Acts 15, starting in verse 36, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return to visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Paul gets hurt feelings easy on this kind of a subject. So I don't know if Demas actually went apostate, or if Paul is using harsh words for a guy who just is like, "I just want to have a family and be happy." And Paul is like, "No, we have to suffer for the word of God." I don't know. Is he being extreme here? But either way, Demas did sort of fell away, at least from the ministry later on. But at the point where we see, where we're in Colossians, he's still with Paul. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church that is in her house. Nympha, by the way, we have no other information on. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Archippus, we also talked about in the beginning when we started Colossians. It seems he's the pastor, the lead elder in Colossians. He's also mentioned in Philemon in the greeting. And where it mentions that, let's see, Philemon 1:2, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and the church in your house. So Archippus seems to be the head of the church in Colossians, and that church seems to be meeting in his home. Other than that, we don't really know anything about him. But he had received, he received that ministry. So he was put in charge, I believe, probably of that ministry in the Lord, either by a calling or by an administrator. Maybe Paul put him in charge of it. I don't know. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Okay. So any questions about these characters or this final section? Anything that I should have looked at that you would like to see? It's just guys. Yes, Elizabeth.
I was just thinking this morning how grateful I am for those who lived out the gospel and laid down their lives so that 2,000 years later we would still have God's word and the truth of his word because of so many lives laid down. So I'm just like, thank you, God. And Paul and everybody else.
Right. Indeed. Yes.
I think it's interesting that he describes each of them. Either one of them is a fellow minister. Another one is just one of you. So he's kind of. It's interesting, old sermon somewhere, that the faithful minister was basically described as the one in the lowest part of the boat pulling the oars, getting the people above where they needed to go. I thought that was a great... I look at you, Dan.
Okay. Well, next week I'm planning to, Lord willing, do one more just full overview of the book to kind of close it up and tie it together, all the kind of stuff we talked about, and then close it out. So hopefully next week we'll finish it out, unless it gets lengthy, in which case it'll be 2 weeks.
So, I'm going to go with Bev's initial comments there. I think the fact of individual people being mentioned gives further credit to me of this, the way I have been with you. This is real people stuff.
Yeah.
And again, I think we marked it last week, we've spoken of it many times, that the pictures that are painted aren't always glossy, full-color wonder, you know? It's like, these are bumbling people like me. Mm-hmm. But they're dedicated, and God is faithful, and they keep moving forward. Some of them, yeah, slide left or right or whatever, as you pointed out. But it should be nice to have more information, you know, but we just don't have it. Following some of these characters with more detail.
Right, right.
But this is what we've got. And so then we just kind of try to peek in between the lines and enjoy them in their humanness.
Excellent. Let's pray and close this up. Lord God, as has already been mentioned, Lord, thank you for these lives, Lord, that delivered letters that we now have in our hand that we can read, that contain so much information about you and who you are and how we ought to live. Lord God, you did not leave us without information. You did not leave us without instructions, and you sent your Spirit to help guide us through it. Thank you for who you are. In the end, all of this is just to your glory. These people lived their lives to your glory, and we ought to live our lives to your glory. Lord, help us to be among those people who go and deliver messages and show love to one another that need it, Lord, and help us to serve one another as these men in that time did. May you be glorified in our midst and in our conversation, just now in the break time and afterwards while Dan is teaching, Lord. Honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.